And this character is that of a friend, a friend. Last week, I think when Edwin was with you, he went through a man of anger. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So this week's character, character 5, deals with a friend from the book of Proverbs. If you stop the average American and ask him what he would consider his greatest longing to be, he would very likely say friendship. Our world is overpopulated with lonely people, and there are many Christians who find themselves contributing to that population explosion. I think probably if we were to just start saying, hey, give me some hit songs over the last 20, 30 years that deal with this topic, all of us could think of them. Okay? All those lonely people. That's what our world is filled with. America's present divorce rate is up 700% since 1900. The average American escapes interpersonal relationships by engaging 6 hours a day in media of some kind. 20% of all American homes will move this year, dividing friendships. All those statistics have helped to make loneliness one of the most pervasive problems of the 20th century. In these days of brief surface relationships, it is necessary that we recognize the need for quality Christian relationships. And this goes back as far as what? Think biblically here. Trace back. The need for good relationships goes all the way back to the beginning. It is not good that man should be alone. God's first recorded statement deals with the issue of loneliness. Virtually every great Bible leader had a good friend. Moses had Aaron, David had Jonathan, Christ had the 12, Paul had Timothy, Luke, and many other companions. To be successful, guys, we have to have and be good friends. Okay? Our Wednesday night series is in the lines of what? True community. Built into the very DNA of Christianity and following Jesus is the idea of doing it together. Good friendships don't just happen, though. They're built brick by brick. So for this reason, we must establish biblical principles with which we can build the structure of a good friendship. Now, as we talk about some of those principles, let's first talk about the Hebrew words used for friend. A friend is one who cares about the life and interests of others. So the opposite of friendliness, here's your first blank, is selfishness. Friendship, friendliness, and selfishness are on two opposite ends of the spectrum. Okay? Three different words underlie this idea of friend throughout the book of Proverbs. First, a friend is someone who loves. Who loves. We won't turn to those references right now, but if you look on those references, you'll see that idea. It carries the idea of sacrificial esteem, of genuine love. A friend is someone who sacrifices himself because of his care, concern, his interest in you. Remember Philippians 2? Esteem others as better than yourselves and look out for the needs, the interests of others. That is underlined here in Proverbs with that word. Secondly, a friend is someone who respects. The second concept related by the authors is this idea of respect. The word is used at times to refer to a chief person. So because of his abilities, his character, his concern, a friend is someone that we respect. And you'll see some references there, especially chapter 16, verse 28. And then thirdly, a friend is someone who chooses. A friend is someone who chooses. We choose our friends because of something in them that is delightful and appealing. Okay? So a friend is someone that we respect and trust, that we love and care for, and that we choose and enjoy. Care, trust, and enjoyment are three vital ingredients of the friendships of the wise man. Care, trust, and enjoyment. Let's consider our first heading there, and it's simply this, making friends. Making friends. I'm behind on my outline here. Let me catch up for you real quickly. Making friends. Have you ever heard somebody complain about hypocrisy in the church, but while you listened to them, you were very aware of their own hypocrisy, and it was kind of like a hypocritical accusation? All those hypocritical people in the church, wait a minute, I know you, and you're pretty hypocritical, and it just sounded hollow. Have you ever heard somebody talk about the unfriendliness of that church? And as you consider their statement, you recognize that they really never did anything to help that statement? We're going to end in Proverbs 18:24. The King James translates it this way: "He that has friends must show himself friendly." I think there's a better translation that will drive home our point a little bit, but nonetheless, it's a pretty good proverbial maxim. He that has friends must show himself friendly. Let's look at some practical tips then for making friends. Number one, the friendly person listens. The friendly person listens. Nobody wants to be with somebody that doesn't pay attention and that doesn't show an audible interest in them. And so we're encouraged to stop, look, and listen. What do we mean by that? Well, stop. Stop doing anything else and simply listen. Of course, we're being practical here, right? But we're kind of talking from our own experience. Don't you appreciate it when somebody drops what they're doing to just listen to you? Don and I have been talking and joking a little bit lately about this being a weakness of ours, this idea of stopping what we're doing and just listening to one another, especially with my mom staying with me. My mom and dad are staying with me right now, and my mom is one who drops everything that she's doing just to listen, to the point where I actually make it a little bit of a game. And the other night while she was washing dishes, I was engaged in a really good conversation, and I wanted to see how many times I could get her to stop washing the dishes and just look at me. And it happened 3 times. I was able to say something, and she'd start washing. She'd put the dish down, she'd just turn, and she'd just look at me. And then she'd realize that maybe she could go on washing, and so she'd start, and then she'd drop it and listen to me. And it really became a fun game. My mom exemplified to me characteristics of a good mom, a good friend. She stops, she looks, and she listens. We had a guy on our Israel trip I ate dinner with one night, and it was really awkward. He would take a bite, and when he'd start talking, he'd look up at you like this, and he'd talk to you with his eyes closed or with his eyes looking down like this, and that's how he would talk with you. And it was really awkward. Nobody likes that. We all know from personal experience, the friendly person listens. He stops, he looks, and he listens. Secondly, he responds. He responds. He finds out what the interests of the other person are, and he becomes a good talker, in that he engages in life around things that interest the other person. It's exactly what we learned in Philippians. And finally, he smiles. He smiles. Proverbs 15:13 says that a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Never underestimate the practicality and the benefit of a smile. Any of you remember Brenda's? I wish she was here this morning. Her Life in Focus video. You remember her talking about her struggle with worry and anxiety and discontentment? And how she realized, she saw some pictures of herself and she thought, I ought to smile more. And the Lord began to use that to work in her heart and then provide her with some biblical depth that she shared in that testimony. And now, fast forward 10 years later, don't we all know Brenda to be somebody who walks into a room and immediately brightens it with her countenance? Never underestimate the simple and practical tool of a smile that brings such tremendous benefit. As far as scriptural tips go, we find this in Proverbs 17, verse 9. True friend overlooks the faults of others. He that covereth a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. In the New Testament, it's put this way: love covers what? A multitude of sins. It really does. Even though sometimes that seems against what we should understand when it comes to rebuking and correcting and confronting, a true friend understands that there's a balance here in overlooking the faults of others. Secondly, a true friend overpowers frights. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Nobody likes wounds. They hurt. They're not pleasant. And although that vulnerability causes many people to say, I'll never get close to another person again, the wise Christian will open himself up and overcome such fright because the wounds of a friend are faithful, indeed necessary for accomplishing that image of Christ in him that Christ is purposing to accomplish. Thirdly, a true friend overcomes his failures. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, he will have the King as his friend. No one wants a friend that can't be trusted. People can buy courses on social conduct, but no one can purchase character. Some of you do not make good friends because you have some significant character flaws. And remember that we said on the two ends of the spectrum are friendliness and selfishness. There has been very little friendliness in your life because there's been the selfishness of clinging to who you are rather than clinging to who you should be. A true friend overcomes his failures. He recognizes that purity of heart and gracious speech is what makes a good friend. And so he roots out those characteristics out of his life that are causing such friendship to be undermined. If you want to make friends, then you'll stop, look, and listen. You'll respond. You'll overlook the faults of others while overpowering your own fright of becoming vulnerable and overcoming your failures so that you can minister grace to those with whom you hang out. How about keeping friends? Well, Proverbs gives a lot of information when it comes to keeping friends. I'll give you your blanks here real quickly. First, we must be careful in our financial dealings. If you want to keep friends, then you keep these principles in mind. Number one, you are careful in your financial dealings. A man void of understanding shakes hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friend. That's characteristic of one who lacks any moral understanding. So be careful in your financial dealings. Secondly, be willing to sacrifice for one another. A friend loves at all times. Thirdly, be willing to forgive. He that covereth a transgression seeks love. You'll remember that Christ was sinned against by Peter. And yet we got to stand on the beach last week where another charcoal fire was lit. The first charcoal fire the Bible references is Peter denying Christ. The second charcoal fire is Christ restoring Peter. And we stood on that bank and were reminded that one of the characteristics of a good friend is that he's willing to forgive. Fourthly, he's loyal. He's loyal. See your verse there, Proverbs 27, verse 10. I'll let you look it up. Number five, we must be honest in our advice. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You want to lose friends? Here's how you do it. I'll give you your blanks and let you look at the references later. Anger. Make no friendship with an angry man, Proverbs says. Flattery, I love this one. It resonates with me. Proverbs 27, verse 14 says, he that blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Absolutely. How many of you are not morning people? Then you know this verse. Don't talk to me early in the morning, especially loudly. That's a good way to break friendships. This describes the guy who is so intent on flattering a person to get out of him what he wants. And he rises up early in the morning, goes to him, finds him asleep. And instead of thinking that he'll get out of him what he wants, oh, it's just the opposite. You're no friend of me if you wake me up. It's a major no-no, this flattery. Thirdly is gossip. And fourthly is financial instability. Can I have you turn to one verse before we leave? This is a good verse to keep on our minds. It's Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24. This is the one that's variously translated, but I think to understand it, it's going to hinge on two words. Let me explain. Look at the passage, Proverbs 18:24. A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You see the word friend there twice? It's actually two different Hebrew words. Let me read it to you. A man of many rea comes to ruin, but there is an ahav that sticks closer than a brother. The word rea refers to acquaintances, superficial relationships. The word ahav refers to those who ask you the hard questions, confront the hard issues in your life. See what that verse is saying? A man of many superficial relationships comes to ruin. But there is an ahav, a true, deep accountability friend that sticks closer than a brother. As we consider true community on Wednesday nights, and as we consider friendship on this Sunday morning, oh, that we say what David did in Psalm 101. The faithful of the land, they'll dwell in my house. Those who walk in the blameless way, they'll eat at my table. One of the saddest stories in the Old Testament that ends with the death of one who violates his own conscience begins this way. But Amnon had a friend. A man of many superficial relationships comes to ruin. But the one who surrounds himself with Ahav, those true, deep, biblically driven, accountability apt friends, they'll stick closer to the brother. Hope this morning you'll simply evaluate your friendships. Do you have friends? If not, what kind of character is keeping them from claiming you? And if you do have friends, are they Reyes or are they Ahavs? Are they superficial and are you selfish in your use of them? Or are they those who engaging with you in true community will point you to Christ and will help you step by step get there? Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity this morning to just consider so many different things. In Christ, we are truly most blessed, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity as a church family to have so many unique opportunities to get to know one another better on a trip to Israel, to stay behind and gather in a room on a Wednesday night and sharpen one another as we consider true community, to gather on a campus in the midst of darkness as those standing for light, and even having some from the darkness ask questions and be drawn to the light. Truly, you're giving us so many unique opportunities. Father, as we enjoy those opportunities, may we do so with friends that get it, that love Christ and pursue Christ and have that single focus. And may they help us do the same as well. Father, help us not to forget these things and be a hearer only that deceives our own selves, but help us to become a doer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.